small.
Cool check.
Smaller.
Cool check tag.
Smallest.
Cool check tagging.
Six plus to Persia.
Now listen to us saying 1 to 10 in Persian.
Yek, do, se, chahar, panj, shish, haft, hasht, no, dah.
And here are the numbers 11 to 20.
Yazdah, davazdah, sinzdah, chardah, punzdah, shunzdah, hivdah, hijdah, nunzdah, beast.
0 in Persian is
sifr.
In numbers greater than 20, the different elements follow each other as they do in English, with the larger number coming first. In pronunciation, the numbers are joined together by the sound o, meaning and. So, for example,
bisto yek
is 21. Similarly,
sado siyo shesh
is 136, and
do hezaru pansado haftadu chahar
is 2574. Now listen to the multiples of 10, starting with 20 and going up to 90.
Beast. Si. Chehel. Panja. Shast. Haftad. Hashtad. Navad.
Now we'll give you the numbers in hundreds from 100 to 900. Listen carefully. You should be able to pick up some trace of the unit numbers in the corresponding hundreds.
Sad.
100.
Devist.
200.
Si sad.
300.
Chahar sad.
400.
Pon sad.
500.
Shes sad.
600.
Rohan. morning. This is Six Pillars to Persia on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm joined this morning by animator Mariam Mohajer, and she brought in for us CD by Abjiz, one of her, your choice?
Yeah, one of my favourite new artists, really.
Yes, yeah. Thanks for bringing it and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me here.
You've just come from Vienna?
Yeah, about a week or 10 days ago, I just arrived. It was an award that I won for the film I made last year, The Girl with Short Hair.
Yes.
And the award was basically 3 months scholarship in Vienna. So I got paid, I got a studio to do another project in Vienna, which was amazing.
Great. So which project did you end up doing?
I chose not to spend all my time at my laptop, because I wanted to see the city, and they have a great coffee culture, if you can call it. So I just went to cafes every day and drew people. And at the end, it became a visual diary. So the people did really exist, and I had drawn them, but I made my own stories for them, like one sentence, very short stories. And I had a composer doing a soundtrack for me for that too, Tanera Dawkins, who worked with me on my last film as well, and life went on. So it was on something between a clip and a slideshow with a narrative and music.
It showed in Vienna before you left?
Yes.
Are you going to show it here? Are you back, by the way? Are you staying now?
Oh, yeah. I've been living in London for 7 years now.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm here to stay. I love it here. I really love it. This one I quite like to actually see if I can have an exhibition here.
I'm sure you will. Yeah. It's the in thing at the moment to be Iranian. Yeah. Now, I first saw your work at Parova, mm-hmm. when you must have been in Austria, and that was a lovely film. I remember going around and asking people what was their favourite piece, and one lady was going on about your film. She loved the way, you know, one minute they were talking about gossip on George Michael, and the next minute they were talking about the bombs and the effect, and just showed how people had managed to trivialise what was happening around them, which we see only in the news as kind of like bombastic events.
Yeah, it's great to hear that, actually. But it was the idea of it. I didn't sit down and think to myself, yes, I have to make a film about war. It didn't happen that way. Every little story in that film did really happen, either to me or someone close to me, like all the little details. And I was thinking, what would be a good place for all these people to be together and interact with each other? Because if you see the film, you see they're from different classes, if I can say that, classes of the society. And you wouldn't see these people in the same party, for example. And I remembered, because I used to live in Ekbatan, when I was very young, during the war, and that was what happened. Like when the air raid siren would go, we would all go downstairs, and all the neighbors would just pass time. Really, it was nothing like what you see in lots of movies today. No one was screaming or crying.
No, it's a great leveler, isn't it? War just makes people work as humans rather than as whoever they built up an identity as.
Yeah, you know. I think it in, especially if you're living abroad, you're not in your own country. You, as a filmmaker, you need to think about your audience. My audience is an international audience, so it could be anyone. And I think to have this human thing rather than something which is very personal, maybe. Anyway, I think it communicates better with someone from, I don't know, even Sweden to some Iranians. I actually had quite a better feedback here in London comparing to when I took it back home in Iran and showed it to people I knew.
Oh yeah, what was their reaction there?
They liked the jokes and they liked the music, but they weren't as excited as I thought they would be. Maybe it's still a very sensitive subject for them. You know, we've all experienced that, and it's not really nice thinking back about it. So I don't know. It's quite confusing for me as well. I don't know.
You know, it's a generally interesting subject. What's successful from Iran, outside Iran, whether it works back there. You know, maybe it's just a simply something that has to be sent out, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I don't know, maybe I need to give them some time, show it to them again.
I would just wonder how many Iranians really like Khorasdami. You know, they don't show it in the cinemas there. Yeah. He, 10 years his film haven't shown there. So
I wouldn't compare myself to him, but yeah, he was really more popular abroad before he became very popular in Iran.
Yes, and I find that with a lot of things about Iran, and I find that the artists seem to be finding a voice, and the thirst for that to be heard. People want to hear them here. And they need to, there's that lack of communication going on, and people, there is an audience out here, and perhaps that in Iran they would rather hear more a Western point of view, you see what I mean, perhaps.
When, I don't know, in some ways when a film has already won something abroad, it's almost like a confirmation, like, yes, this is worth watching, in some ways, in a very easy way. But also London is amazing for the art, and the variety of different people with different tastes that you get is just unbelievable. Even in Vienna, I didn't experience the same thing. I mean, it was great. The feedback was great, but it wasn't as many different, you know, tastes and variety of people as you find in London.
Okay, now you said that most of the subject, or maybe all of the subjects of the films, is personal experience. So with Girl with the Short Hair, were you really shorn? Were you subjected? Because I my mum shaved my head. She was hardcore. At 3 or 4, I looked like a little skinhead.
Oh, she probably wanted you to have more hair.
Yes, yeah, it was red did. And yeah. She was worried.
No, it wasn't shaved. I had very short hair. Mm. And the story did happen to me. It's basically about this 5-6 year old girl who's bullied by two boys, telling her because she has short hair, so she's a boy. Mm. And they're asking her to prove that she's a girl. Mm. And yeah, it did really happen to me. And the real story was quite dark, what really happened. And it ended up by me punching one of the boys and him punching me worse and me crying.
Well, you proved you were a boy then.
Yeah, well, yeah, in some ways. But in the film, it's I sort of made a twist at the end, and
it's a very sweet portrayal of how early on roles plant themselves in our mind.
Yeah, it's amazing what like even your playmates could do to you, and regarding like what you believe in and the right and wrong. And also the amazing thing with this experience was I've realized how much the reactions are important. Like in that case, I defended myself and I thought, yeah, I have to prove that I'm a girl to these boys. And I at that moment, I didn't even know what they meant. Like I was saying, yeah, I have a dress on, I'm wearing red shoes and, you know. But I'm now thinking, well, if I just said, yeah, whatever, you know, just leave me alone. none of this would have been, I don't know, it's amazing what a little reaction could do to all your childhood memories.
I think it's instinctive, though. I mean, when you're a child, you really do stand up for what's right if you can.
Yeah, you try, I guess. But yeah, it's to do with the confidence as well, like the way you say it. And, you know, like I wish I had done what the girl in the film does back then, but I didn't.
She got them to show that they were boys and then she ran off.
Yeah, I don't want to give away the ending. But
so where could people see your films?
It's a good question, actually. There are two DVDs at the moment. One is from Royal College of Art. You know, they have their showreels every year's showreels. They sell them.
That's where you graduated from?
Yeah, oh. Royal College of Art. I just graduated in July, a few months ago. Also, the Tricky Women Festival, which the film won the award, has a DVD of like the best of that year. And you can buy this online as well. So at the moment, there are these two. I'm thinking about having my own
DVD release.
But I need, there are things to do because, you know, the rights and everything, we need to clear that up first.
So how long does it take you to make, say, a 5-minute film? Because you're drawing by hand, are you, and taking it into Adobe? What's your process?
It depends. Like, lately, with the girl which shot her and life went on, I do draw by hand, but it's using a tablet, a computer tablet. So it's a pencil, but you draw it on the computer. But basically, you need to draw every frame. Mm. And in the girl which shot her, I did use collage photographs for the background, but life went on was all hand-drawn.
Right.
So the girl which shot her, I think, which was a 3-minute film, that took about, let's say, 4 months. But And Life Went On, which was 6 minutes, took a whole 9 months. And that's after the script was ready.
Gosh.
Yeah, it does take a long time. You need to be very patient.
How do people make a living out of animation then?
That's very tricky, actually. There are lots of big advertising companies in London that make animation for, you know, the adverts you see on TV. And you could either, like, if one of the good options is if they have you on their list as an animator director. And basically, if something comes up and they think it suits your style, they get you to pitch for it, we say. Mm-hmm. Like, there will be 3 people pitching for it, and then they choose between the 3 of you which one to direct that. And
it's a bit of a sellout, though, isn't it, advertising? It's like you're moving from the art world to the corporate.
Yeah, it's difficult to keep the balance because it pretty much will take a lot of your time, and you hardly would find the time to make your own stories again. But
why don't you do what the other... there's an Iranian artist this year at the Barbican. She doesn't do any of her own painting. She gets poster painters from Iran come over here and paint for her the walls, the ceiling, under her direction, according to her probably a few centimetres high drawing. Yeah, so perhaps you could get some minions of your own.
Again, it's tricky. I have worked with other people, having them helping me, like animation assistants, but... it's very difficult to be happy with what other people do. You could be quite a perfectionist.
Someone slamming the door very loudly. Yeah. It's all heat and bother at resonance this morning. No, well, it's true. I don't respect her for having other people paint her painting, but it's quite a long tradition, obviously, in the arts.
Oh, it's good. And good. I mean, good on her, because it's an amazing job these poster painters have been doing in Iran. And in the West, I don't know, people I have spoken to, they were quite amazed by this subject, that they actually paint like a big, big wall on a big wall.
For a film. Yeah. It's the same in India.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very funny. It's a very particular style, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's amazing. And to make it look like the actress or the actor. So, yeah, I think good on her. Yeah.
She wasn't doing that. She had big lilies on the ceiling. So what would you like to do next? What would be the ideal step for you?
At the moment, I'm working on another short film, which is a part of a group thing that I'm doing. It happened in Abu Dhabi Film Festival. And there was a group of short filmmakers, and we just got on really well. And we thought, oh, yeah, let's do a project all together. Mm. So I'm working on that at the moment. And then there are 3 scripts. One is a documentary. The other one is my own story. And the third one is actually a story by Mr. Moradi Kermani. And hopefully, if I could get some funding for that, I could make that film. So yeah, 3 scripts. And
will the documentary be film or animation?
I think it will, depending on how it goes. But at the moment, I'm thinking probably the sound, and then I will animate it myself. And it's going to be in Iran.
Are you going to go there?
Yeah, if I can get people interested in the project.
So do you come and go from Iran quite a lot?
I've promised myself to go back once a year.
Right.
Because all my family is there.
All of them?
Yeah.
All right.
My parents and, everyone.
When did you first leave them?
2000, summer 2000.
Was it easy to leave?
It just happened very quickly.
What, you were ejected?
Almost. No, I fell in love. So I married this guy who I'm still married to. And I wanted to join him here. So I came over. And it happened very quickly. When between the time he asked me to marry him, within 17 days we were married. And within a month, I came here, and I had.
That's
never
not
been
that
here
quick.
Before.
Normally, when someone says, "Will you marry me?" the girl says yes straight away. 17 days is pretty long. I suppose in animation terms, 9 months for 3 minutes, that is quite quick.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a very good point. Actually, it took me more longer time to make the film. I tell him today. Okay. I tell him that today. But yeah, that's how I came here.
Mm.
And again, that's how I got to know animation, because I did painting when I was in Iran.
Mm.
And
is this kind of thing available for girls in Iran?
It is. Yeah. I'm really not sure about now, how it is. But back then, it was only in university wise, you could only do MA in animation. You had to do your BA in something else, graphic or painting, and then enter it. And there were only, I think, two universities who offered it. But since then, I think it's
quite
progressed.
A lot. There's more people in Iran than there is in Britain.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, I know. But the fact that you can now make your animation on a laptop, on a computer, makes it just more available for everyone. And there are some really good animators in Iran.
So when you come and go, what kind of feelings do you get? What's the experience like for you?
Indulgence. no, it's great. It's And Life Went On, I actually recorded all the sound in Iran. I went back for 2 weeks and I just recorded everything. I came back with 2 hours of sound recordings and cut it down to 6 minutes.
Did you get actors to do it, or you just asked them?
It was a mix. There were three or four professional actors. But most of the people it was their first time that they were being recorded. And it was an amazing experience, how generous people are with their talent, if you can say it.
Were they just people on the street? Were they people you knew?
Probably two or three of them I knew. But most of them, especially the kids, it was the first time they were meeting me. And I was just so, my love to all of them. And no one got any money for this. None of the voice artists got any money, so I'm really, really...
When you go back next time, will you take them a copy of the film?
I did this time, actually. I tried to find them. A few of them I found, and they do have a copy, but they have promised me not to copy it and give it to anyone. it'd be interesting to go back and see what happened. Yeah.
And what do you feel about the general situation when you leave Iran and your parents are still there? Do you wish it was easier for them to come over? Is there any...
Well, I mean, you do miss your family, especially in our culture. You're very, very close to your family. It's tough. It's really tough. One of the worst thing is when you come... Every time I'm on the plane leaving, I just... it's not a prayer, really. I just tell myself, I hope everyone would be safe and sound by the time I come back again. And it's quite difficult when you're here and you lose someone there and you're not even there. It's quite a scary experience.
Is it something that's happened to you?
I've lost some of the relatives, a couple of my relatives, and a very, very good friend about 2 years ago. He died in an accident. But anyway, that's probably one of the worst things with immigration. You don't know next time you go back who is still going to be there and who's not.
But you're very lucky. I mean, there's some people who've left Iran who've never been back for 15, 10 years. They've never seen their family because the reason for leaving is the same reason they can't go back.
Yeah, I know. I'm really appreciate that, actually. I don't know. I mean, you always get used to things. You always survive. But I do really appreciate this going back. I mean, if nothing else, it's been giving me great ideas for stories.
I keep hearing it's a very fertile place for ideas and art. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. You should go.
Do you see any art when you're out there?
I do. I mean, I'm still in touch with my painter friends, and I do see some exhibitions. But the main thing I'm interested in is the films, is the cinema. And I do recommend it, actually. They do come out with amazing films once in a while.
Can't you bring any with you when you come?
I'll skip your tenner. I always do. You can buy the DVDs.
Okay. Oh, you can?
Yeah, lawfully. Yeah, it's so you do a research first, like thinking, okay, this is what I want, this is not what I want. And some of the really good ones, actually, they get screened here in London, like all Jafar Panahi's film, who is one of the best directors that I've seen their films. Like about three or four of his films haven't been screened in Iran, but they have been screened here in London.
Again, there's that thing about the audience.
Maybe there's something about it. Maybe. I think it's the simplicity of it. I think everyone relates to it. I don't know how it works, really. If I knew, well.
Well, there you go, everyone. There's a tip from Mariam Muhajir at Panahi.
Yes, Jafar Panahi. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Okay, well, look, thanks so much for coming in today. It's been really great to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
We had Abjiz earlier with, what song was that?
And that was Bergerd, which means come back.
Now I'm going to play the second one.
Oh, the second one is Gerye Mard, Man's Crying.
Men Crying.
Man's Crying.
Man's Tears.
Man's Tears, maybe. Yeah, that would be the right
Let's see if they can do it.